Hello and how's everyone doing? This is Pastor Romel Duane Moore, Senior Pastor of Kingdom Convoy Church. I want to continue on and do a part two to understanding faith, but we're going to dig a little deeper and connect it to time and eternity. In the last session, we began to talk about what happened pertaining to the tripartite being of man, of spirit, soul, and body, what happened during the fall of man. And so we understand that God originally made Adam and Eve living souls. That means that their soul and spirit were external, and the flesh that he formed from the dust of the earth was internal. They did not know they had a physical body. This is why the scripture says when they ate and fell, that their eyes were open and they knew they were naked and was ashamed. That meant before they ate and fell, their spiritual eyes was open. After they ate, the day that they ate, they shall surely die. Their spiritual eyes were closed, and the natural or physical eyes that was hidden inside of them, called the flesh, was open. Just as a footnote, if you look up the word tree in Hebrew, of course it means tree, but it comes from a root Hebrew word that means to close the eyes. In other words, God hid within the meaning of tree, because it would be a tree that would hold the key to man staying in grace or man fallen. And so God hid within the mystery and the beautiful part of the Hebrew language. He hid within that meaning of the word tree to close the eyes, because when they ate from the forbidden tree, the spiritual eyes were closed and the carnal or physical eyes were open. And for the students of the Word of God, you can connect this to when Jesus was healing a blind man. Remember, he prayed for him and he asked them, "What do you see?" And the man said, "I see men as trees." And Jesus prayed again, and then he was completely healed. It wasn't that Jesus' first prayer only worked halfway. It wasn't that when he said, "What do you see?" he didn't see what Jesus expected him to see. And so he had to pray again. We're dealing with the Lord of glory, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He asked him, what did he see? Because it will connect to Adam and Eve in the garden when they fail. So when he asked him, what did he see? In transition, it would be something prophetic that the man saw. So a blind man in transition to sight said he see men as trees, because it connected to Adam and Eve, who could see spiritually. And after they ate from the forbidden tree, it was the tree that closed their eyes. And to take it a little further, remember when Nathanael was introduced to Jesus. When he came to Jesus, Jesus told Nathanael, "While you were under the fig tree," he said, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree." And then Nathanael knew by him saying that, that he was the Messiah. Now, remember, right before he met Jesus, when he told him, "Hey, we've met the Messiah," Nathanael was the one that said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Jesus replies after he meets him and said, "Why, I saw you while you were under the fig tree." He said, what does that have to do with anything? And he went on to tell him, if you impressed that I was able to tell you that I saw you while you was under the tree, he said, check this out. He said, you are an Israelite. And he said, you're going to see angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So, Pastor, what does that have to do with anything? It all connects. It is all congruent. Remember when Jacob came to the place where he called Bethel and he went to sleep and he had that dream where there was a ladder that extended from earth to heaven and he saw angels ascending and descending. Jesus is connecting these stories. And he gave us a clue that he was connecting. Remember, in the volume of the book, it is written of him. Remember, he is the Word of God. And he gave us a breadcrumb when he told Nathanael, he said, thou art an Israelite. When he said Israelite, it connects you to the one whose name was changed from Jacob to Israel. He's letting you know, I'm getting ready to converge the old and the new here. The place where Jacob had that dream, I believe the original name was Zoar. I could be incorrect, but the original name means trees, oak trees, or another form of trees. But the original name means trees. So we're dealing with trees. So the place of trees is what Jacob had this dream. And he had a prophetic dream of a ladder extending from heaven to earth and the angels ascending and descending. And then Jesus picks it up and calls Nathanael an Israelite. But right before he broke that down, he prophesied to Nathanael and said, I saw you sitting under the tree. And so the connecting a part of here, and I don't have time to break it all down, is that there's a tree involved. And when Jacob woke up from this dream, he understood what all of that meant, which I can't go into because I have to continue. He understood what that meant, and he renamed the place from just meaning trees to Bethel, which means house of God. And then he said, this is the gate of heaven. In other words, when we're eating from the right tree, it becomes the house of God. It becomes the gate of heaven where angels ascend and descend, because that ladder that he saw that extended from the earth to heaven, it represented the cross. You know, ladders in that day were made out of wood, and that wood, that which would connect us back to heaven, that which would connect fallen man back to heaven, would be Jesus on the cross, suspended like that ladder between heaven and earth. And at that place, when we come to the house of God, when we eat from the tree of life, who is Jesus Christ, angels are able to ascend and descend. In other words, our eyes can be opened. We can be restored. We can be redeemed. We can be reconciled back to God. But if we eat from the wrong tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that will cause our eyes to be closed, because the day that we eat, we shall surely die. And see, trees are important. The two trees that was in the midst of the garden, that was important, because one caused death and caused the spiritual eyes to be closed and the carnal eyes to be opened. And one, if they'd have ate from, they would have lived eternally in the state that they were in. And so since in the fall, we ate from the wrong tree, it was a tree that got us in trouble, and it would take a tree to get us out of trouble. And this is why the Bible said, cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. So Jesus had to be born in the flesh through the Virgin Mary, as you and I are. And he had to live in the physical fallen realm, just like you and I. He was tempted in all points, yet found without sin. So why did he have to die hanging on a tree? Because it's fruit that hangs from a tree. That's why he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And he became a curse that we might be blessed. And so in the gospel of the kingdom is preached, people are able to identify the work of Calvary and the death of Jesus for the sins of the world. And we can come and we can look up at the tree where the fruit of our Lord hung, and we can eat. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. So when we fail, our fall fractured what God had originally made, because we were made spiritual beings. And so with the fall, if you read the entire Bible, the Bible lets us know that creation was made subject to vanity. So when we fail, it not only affected our tripartite being, it not only caused our spiritual eyes to be closed and our natural, physical, carnal eyes to be opened, but it affected the very earth, this part of creation that he gave us dominion over. So there's a lot to this fall that we don't understand and don't properly articulate. So there was a fracture in what was originally set up for us. And the physical world was produced and came forth from that. Said another way, the fourth dimension of height, length, width, and time is a subset of the spiritual dimension that it came from. As I aforementioned, everything that is seen came from that which is not seen. Physical mass is a subset, is a lesser reality of the spirit realm that it came from. And this is why when we understand the kingdom is not physical. Remember, the apostles was waiting for Jesus to establish a physical kingdom. They were waiting for the King of Kings to overthrow the Roman government, to physically remove the enemies on the earth. But he told them in certain terms over and over again that my kingdom is not of this world. And one of the greatest problems and deficiencies, as far as our understanding in the people of God today, is not being able to fully comprehend that God's kingdom is spiritual, and that kingdom lives on the inside of your spirit and how it operates. There are keys to this kingdom that we need to find out about. And so with that being said, when it comes to how to walk by faith and understanding faith, we need to understand the reality of what happened in the garden. And it has a lot to do with time and eternity. So in this lesson, I want to dig into some of the understanding and principles that is related to time and eternity. And it's important that I extrapolate some of these truths concerning this, because we presently still live in and appreciate this world, this physical realm of height, width, length, and time. And we're going to break down how time works again. People don't realize that time is physical. Okay, and I'm getting ready to get into that in a second. But because we are 2/3 spiritual, our spirit and soul is invisible. It is spiritual. That's why you can't see it. And we are 1/3 physical. That which we understand the most is the physical realm. We understand better than anything the realm that is a subset of the spirit realm. We understand better than anything the dimension that is a lesser dimension than the spirit realm. The dimension that has the power. The realm where the authority is the spirit or invisible realm. The physical realm that we fail into is only 4 dimensions. But we're not just physical. We are also spiritual. We're 2/3 spiritual. And there is at least 6 more dimensions of the spirit realm. But all we understand is the fallen realm, the cursed realm, where the law of sin and death reigns, the realm where we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity, the realm where the nature of sin and death reigns and rules. That's why the flesh must die. That's why we put him on a fast. That's why he must be denied, because that realm is already cursed. It cannot be redeemed. Your flesh cannot be redeemed. God is going to give us a new glorified body. So our authority is connected to the invisible or spiritual or higher realm and dimension called the spirit. And the spiritual realm has at least six dimensions to it. This is where the power is. This is where we access and utilize our faith. This is where the blessings are. This is where the authority is. This is where the miracles are. This is where the kingdom is. We have to understand it and access it properly. So when it comes to understanding how faith works and how to walk by faith, we have to be able to get into the higher dimension of the spirit realm, because when we fail into the natural realm where the enemy has authority. We fell into this realm where he is the God of this world. Uh-oh. What am I trying to say? Well, unlike what most scholars believe in the church, they teach that when we fail, we transferred, if you would, our authority that was originally given to us. Then when we fail, it was by default given to Satan. And at that point, he became the God of this world, because before the fall, God gave the dominion to man. Well, the problem with that is twofold. Satan being the God of this world is not the same as the God of the earth. The world is the system whereby it's a system that things are ran by. The earth belongs to the Lord. The Bible clearly says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So it can't be the same. All right. So we need to make that distinction. Secondly, there is not one scripture that states Adam gave his authority willingly or unwillingly to Satan. Not one scripture, but that's what they teach. Let me clear the record for you. When I speak of we, I'm talking about Adam, our forefather. We did not give the dominion we had that God gave man. We did not give it to Satan. We have to understand the fall. The very terminology of the word fall means, in order to fall, you had to first be in an elevated position or place and then go down. Okay, in the simplest form, you was up and you came down. There's no scripture that says that the dominion Adam had, he gave to Satan. What really happened was, when we fail, we have to ask the question, what do we fall into? Where did we fall into? See, what really happened when we fail from our dominion and position spiritually. Because they were created as living souls spiritually. And when we fail into that natural body that was hidden on the inside of man, into the carnal realm, we fail into the dimension where Satan was already the God of that world. We fell from a higher position and power and influence and authority into the realm where he was already the God. I can prove it to you. If we gave our dominion to Satan when we fail, Jesus came back and redeemed us. So at the point of him redeeming us, Satan should no longer be the God of this world, because Jesus would have taken back what Adam gave. But even after his death, burial, and resurrection, Paul speaks explicitly that he is still the God of this world. So something ain't right. Well, the truth of the matter is he's the God of this world system, not the earth. And when we fail from a higher spiritual place and dominion in God. We fell into the very dominion that he had already given Satan. It's called the world. Time. The fourth dimension. When God made the devil, that was the place of dominion he gave him. Man was never supposed to fall into that dimension, but we did. All right, now I can stay there for a minute, but I must move on. So because we are 2/3 spiritual, 1/3 physical, it's the physical part of us that is fallen. It's the physical part of us that is limited to the fourth dimension, and time is a part of that. So let's talk about time for a minute. To give a better example of where I'm going with this, someone once used this this story as an example, and I think it's pretty relevant. So if you take two identical twins that was born at the same time, maybe seconds apart, okay, we're using them in this example. And so say that they're brothers. And we take one of these brothers who are identical twins born at the same time. Okay, that would be important. And we take one of the brothers and we send them to the nearest star. I believe the nearest star to Earth is called Alpha Centauri. And that star is 4.5 light years away. Okay, so and say we take one of the brothers and we send them to this star 4.5 light years away, but we send them whatever spaceship what have you we use, we send them at half the speed of light. Now, I believe light moves at 671 million miles an hour. And I think that comes down to 186,000 miles per second. In other words, moving at the speed of light, it can circle the earth more than 7 times in 1 second. So we're sending one of the brothers to the nearest star that's 4.5 light years away. So when you hear something connected to light years, that means that the number you came up with is based on you moving at the speed of light. So if a star is 4.5 light years away, that means it would take 4.5 years to get there if you're moving at the speed of light. So it's called light years. All right. If you're moving at 671 million miles per hour. Okay. So take this brother and we're only moving at half the speed of light. Okay. So we send him at half the speed of light. It would take him 9 years to get there and 9 years to get back. Now, that's Earth time. So those that are on the Earth, when we send them, it would take, based on us on Earth, it would take them 9 years at half the speed of light to get to the star. And you send them right back another 9 years. So on Earth time, that's 18 years. But in terms of the person who's on the spacecraft moving at half the speed of light, the trip would only take 15 years and 7 months. So he's basically arriving back on Earth about 2.5 years younger than his twin brother. Because time is physical and it is a part of the fourth dimension. Now, let's say we take the same brother and we send him to Alpha Centauri, that's 4.5 light years away, and we send him at the speed of light. Of course, it would take 4.5 on Earth time. It would take 4.5 years for him to get there and 4.5 years for him to get back. So that would be a total of 9 years. Those on Earth, we sent them 4.5 years for him to get there, 4.5 years to get back. So Earth time would be 9 years. But guess how much time elapsed for the person that's on the spacecraft moving at the speed of light? On that twin brother's calendar, he was only gone 33 days. Because time is not a constant. It is a physical property that varies based on mass, acceleration, gravity, and some other things. This is why the scripture says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Now, we're going to go a little further. We visualize time being linear, a straight line, okay? So from the physical realm, we can move forward in time and we can look backwards, but we can't move backwards or look forward. Those are the limitations that time brings in the physical realm. Now, when we think of eternity, we view eternity as something that has lots of time, okay? And let's deal with that right quick. We know that God is not subject to gravity, mass, acceleration, okay? God is not someone who has lots of time, because he lives in eternity doesn't mean he have lots of time. That's how we view it from the fourth dimension. The reality is he is someone outside of time. He does not live in time. Time lives in him. Now, this is not true of angels or Satan, only God alone. Now, if you read Isaiah 57, it says that God inhabits eternity, declaring the end from the beginning. This is possible because he stands outside of time and watches time simultaneously. Said another way, we know that time comes in three dimensions, past, present, and future, because God does not live in time. Time lives within him. So he stands outside of time and watches all three dimensions of time, past, present, and future, at the same time. I'm going to say that again. He stands outside of time. He holds time in his hand. He views time, past, present, and future, at the same time or simultaneously. This is why he can declare the end from the beginning, because he sees it at the same time. Now, I can give you an example of if you've been at a parade before. We know the parade have a beginning point where all of the floats and entertainers get together, and then they begin to proceed or parade in a certain route. Okay. And so wherever you are, you set up on your porch or on the sidewalk, and you have to wait for the procession to come by you. So that's a picture of us in time. We only can appreciate and know the time as the parade comes to us. But imagine if you were in the middle of the parade, at the top of a tall building. Your vantage point is no longer limited to the parade in the moment in time where the parade passes you. But your vantage point from the top of the building, you can see the beginning of the parade, you can see the middle of the parade, and you can see the end of the parade. Now, that's a watered down version, but That's where God sits. He's sitting on top of the building and he can see the beginning, the middle, and the end. The difference is, compared to you being on top of the building, he sees it at the same time. He's not watching it happen from the beginning, then make it to the middle, then make it to the end. He sees it all simultaneously. Now, check this out. Did you know that because God inhabits eternity, that's deep by itself. Did you know that, take for instance, someone, a believer, someone who died 5,000 years ago, someone who died yesterday, and someone who will be raptured, say the rapture happened in 2 years. We got the past, present, and future. Did you know that they will all appear at the throne at the same time? What am I trying to say? Albert Einstein stated, the distinction between past, present, and future is an illusion. That's the world that we live in, because we do not understand it's fallen. We do not understand it is lesser than. We do not understand its reality is not as great as the physical realm, because it is a subset of that realm. It is a lesser version of that realm, which means, put your seatbelt on, our reality here can be manipulated. It means the things that you appreciate from the five senses is not as real as the origin that it was birthed from. The spirit realm is more real than the natural realm. The spirit realm is more powerful than the natural realm, because the natural realm came from the spirit realm. And the natural realm is a place, if you would, a matrix that you should not trust. This is why Jesus said, blessed are they who believe and have not seen. God wants to activate our spiritual eyes. He needs to activate our spirit man. He needs us to learn and understand and activate and use the keys of the kingdom of the higher realm, the higher vibration where the authority is. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if we do not get this, you still will die and go to heaven, but your life, your existence on this earth will be futile. You will struggle. You will be defeated. You will not be happy. And not that our walk is about happiness. I'm talking about there's a sense of joy that we get when we understand how this thing works, and we know how to access the this realm, and we understand the keys of the kingdom, and we know what we can lock and unlock, and we know what we can access, and we know our authority, and we know God hears us, and we know how to stand, and we know how to be patient and wait on the Lord, and we know that his word will not return unto him void. There's a different level of living as a believer when you understand how faith works, and that it is from the spiritual dimension. When you understand that, and you understand that we fail into this fourth dimension, and you can't trust it. When you walk in with God, you can't trust the voice of the doctor. You can't trust what the enemy is doing. You can't trust height, width, length, and time. It's your greatest enemy. It's here to deceive you. It is an illusion. The real world is the spirit realm. The real power, place of authority, where the kingdom exists, is the six dimensions of the spirit realm. We have to know these things. We have to learn it. We have to become students of it. We have to be able to live and breathe it the same way that you know and you live and breathe the natural realm, the same way that you know and you trust what you hear and what you smell and what you feel. You have to know and stay in this thing long enough to let the Holy Ghost teach you and become one and understand and become a disciple in the things of the Spirit. Because this is where faith dwells. So when you walk by faith, I said all that to say this, when you walk by faith, you are saying, I am exiting the fallen dimension of height, width, length, and time. Because God made me 2/3 spiritual, and I'm stepping out on the spiritual words of God. My words are spirit and they are life. I'm exiting the fourth dimension, and I'm stepping into the higher dimension of the spirit. And that's where my blessing is. That's where my healing is. That's where I defeat giants. That's where I step on the head of the enemy. That's where I'm an overcomer. That's where I'm victorious. That's why Paul said, we fight not against flesh and blood. Lord, have mercy. So when he said, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And he went on to say, he said, love not this world. Lord, have mercy. Neither the things that are in this world. Because what is in the fourth dimension? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Say, don't you get caught up in that matrix. Don't you get caught up in that. I know that's what you know, because that's all you've known since you come into the womb. You were born in this world. That's all you know about this world. He said, but that's why you need to die to understanding of this world. And you need to be birthed and understand, birthed into the spiritual kingdom, birthed into the dimension where the real power is, because you will be disappointed as a follower of Jesus Christ. If you stay in the fourth dimension, if you don't understand that he 2/3 of us is yearning to walk in the spiritual dimension, is yearning to learn about the dimension of the substance that it is made of the invisible realm. So the Bible says we walk by faith. In other words, in order, because God knows that we're living in a fallen world, an inferior dimension of physicality and time, he understands that. He says, but once you're born into this kingdom, I need you to come as a child, sit and learn of me, be a student of how this thing works. And at that point, you need to know that one of your greatest assets outside of walking in love, because faith works by love. The greatest thing you can do is love your neighbor as yourself and God with all your soul, mind, heart, and strength. The second thing you need to know how to do is how faith works. He understands that all we know is the five senses. All we know is time. All we know is that which is of mass and gravity. He understands that. But he said, but when you're ready to no longer be a baby, time to take the bib off your neck, and begin to eat and dine in the meat of God's word, where you understand in order to access the spiritual realm, in order to access the spiritual kingdom, in order to access the riches that are in Christ Jesus. You have to step out of the fourth dimension through the vehicle of faith to get what you need. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. And He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The reason why the scripture says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be given unto you. Because there are some things that you're going to need to get from the kingdom. There's some resources that you're going to need to access from God. Some stuff you will get immediately in time. Because you've already been blessed with everything you're going to get. See, this has to do with time and eternity. The distortion is those two dimensions. Some stuff you will see and appreciate immediately in the fourth dimension. Some stuff you're going to ask and you immediately receive. Like, wow, that was quick. You know, Lord, I asked by faith. I got it. Some stuff going to take a little longer. So you're going to knock. And before you see it manifest in time, you're going to knock a little while by faith. Some stuff going to take a little longer. By faith, you're seeking. It's going to take a little longer, but as long as you do not lose faith, as long as you stand on the word of God, and see, that is our problem. We don't know how to wait. Because we don't understand that everything we will get, we have already received. As I told you before, everything you need is not outside of who you are. And I'm not speaking of us being something important in and of ourselves. I'm speaking once you're born again and have become a recreated creature in Christ Jesus. The kingdom is now within you. You're not great within yourself. You're great because of Christ in you, the hope of glory, the kingdom in you. And He's already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Did you know the heavenly places is within you? Because your spirit man and your soul, once it is gone through the salvation and renewed by the mind, did you know that its substance is of God? The spirit man is recreated. He has the genes of God, have the nature of God. He knows the mind of God. And because He is made of God and from God, God says, I can put my kingdom in there. This is why the Holy Ghost can't live in you until you're born again, until there is a place called the spirit man that is absolutely regenerated, 100% redeemed, that He can live in. So the kingdom is there because His spirit is there. And at that point, you have everything that pertain unto life and godliness. And the distortion, the problem we have is that we can't wait. See, waiting is necessary because what we need has to manifest from the spirit realm into the natural realm. And we don't control that. But all you have to do is stand in faith and it will manifest. God bless you.